हरिः ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 3. The Jiva is self-revealer and conscious giver. Riti, the next Anucheda elaborates on the Jiva's characteristic as the giver of consciousness. Though Atma is a form of consciousness, it gives consciousness to the body, just as light from a lamp illuminates things. Anucheda 28. Since the jiva reveals itself by its own shakti, not depending on another living entity, it means it's not dependent on another jiva, mm-hmm. right? It reveals itself. But the point is where is its shakti coming from? From Krishna. Yes. So it's by the grace of Krishna, the jiva can reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. It has a single form, ekarupa swarupa bhak, as its nature, just as a lamp functions as one unit. Right, because it's the jiva's one entity, right, a singular entity. Otherwise, they'll try to say, no, we're all the same and this and that. But if that was a thing, if one for all, then the whole world can just enjoy themselves and one living entity can sit down and for self-realization. When they come self-realized, then we're all happy, you know, like that. But no, it's everybody's as an individual unit. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.38, already cited, in the phrase upalabdhi matram, the word matram indicates that its qualities emanate from its own form only. Right? Just as all the shaktis come from Krishna's form, therefore, within that of the shaktis, then you have the jiva, and then it has its own form, and it has its own potency. Right? Now the jiva gives consciousness, chaitana, according to jamatri. Right, so we have the point is that he is conscious, but then he gives that consciousness. Mm-hmm. It gives consciousness to the body just as light from a lamp illuminates things. Right, so that you're going to have a lamp, and it itself is one individual unit, and it is light. So it is, you know, like we're saying here, jiva is conscious, but it illuminates a particular area. Yes. So the same way, the jiva, then the consciousness goes through the particular body they're in, however big or however small. So it's not, but not another body. That's only Paramatma. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah? It was illustrated with an example in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.10.8. The Atma, self-revealing, the observer, is different from the subtle and gross bodies. Just as fire, the burning agent and illuminator, is different from wood, which is burned. Since the revealer, giver of consciousness, Prakashaha, is different from the revealed. Right? So when we say giver here, we mean of consciousness. It's coming from the living entity. Because they'll try to say that's coming from Maya or this or that or so many things. You know, it's just being the body, I mean, life being just some chemicals. Therefore, then, it's not coming from that. No, it's the jiva that gives the life. That gives the consciousness. And they're self-revealed, self-aware, and able to see other things.
Mm. Right? It means that the jiva, if you give consciousness, means he is different from consciousness?
No, he is consciousness. That means he is consciousness and he is conscious. If you're consciousness, that doesn't mean... See, the personal understanding, then what you are, that's what you do, right? An entity then has a uniqueness, they have an existence, right? Then there's a uniqueness to that existence, so therefore there's an individual jiva. Then there's activities that they can perform, and by that get results. So that means the jiva existing as consciousness can know things. And from not knowing things, then you get results. You understand? So the personal is first, not the impersonal. So it's not that, but if they're consciousness, then they can't know anything. That's coming from the impersonal side. They're a person.
Yes.
They're conscious, then all these things are there. That's the thing is, by logic, we try to apply, how things should work. But the problem is we can only work within the material sphere. And so that logic... is limited.
Yes.
You know. And so the point is that there is things should make sense and all that, that's fine. But if we're dealing with something beyond matter, which is what we're perceiving with our senses, then the difficulty comes up is that the logic won't apply there. It's not that it's not illogical. It's just that logic won't do it. You know, we're thinking that logic is the tool to make things work. We're thinking that pratyaksha and anuman, right? You know, because even if you say anuman, but then there's going to be, the thing is if they don't see it. So even say the scientists, they mental speculate, and they'll say anuman for things in the universe, but they've started with only what they can see.
Yes.
Now, I take what I see, I speculate on that.
Yes.
Now if you say, if you have to see it, you can't see... so many of their calculations, so many of their projections about how things should be. They can't see it. And so according to their own philosophy, you can't see it with the senses, it doesn't exist. So according to that, all of their anima, so much of their anima doesn't exist. But because they've seen something and then speculate on what they've seen, then they consider it's real. Rather than we've heard from authority, shabda, then we apply that anuman on it to try to see how it applies. Well, all these things are happening. So the shabda says this. So by applying the anuman, the logic, then I say, they're talking about that thing. Or this one applies to this thing. But they won't start that way because they don't accept authority other than their senses. So even though they're very intelligent, and so in that way, the intelligence being the prominent, being the mechanical feature of their existence, which technically should put them on the platform of Vijnanamaya. But because it's, unless they see it with their senses, it puts them on the same platform as an animal on Anamaya. So they're just really, really clever animals, that's all. You could say the most clever animals. So they are the best. You know, they always think they're the best, so they are the best of those on Anamaya. You know. Like that. So that is a difficulty there. So they're going to be the ones that is gyan, right? Then you're going to be the sophisticated chappy, So then he's going to be the one that's dealing with the more sophisticated kind of elements like that. But it's still an animal. Right? Then you're going to have the uncultured immoralists like that, or the tribals are different like this, and they're going to be, but they're still better than the animals. Then you're going to have the animals. So you have all these four levels within Anamoya. So that's the difficulty, is that it has to be seen as that the logic won't be dissatisfied, but you're using it wrong. It's just like I say, no, I have to use this to get it done. I have to cut all these potatoes and I'm going to use this knife. But I have to get myself, I have to wait, because I've, ordered online a, some kind of, it's for what do you call it? The nerds when they go down to these big parks and they play as knights and things like that. So I've ordered a male glove. Chainmail glove, so I can hold the knife properly, so I can deal. Because every time I pick up the knife, I get cut. But if I have the chainmail glove, then I can hold it nicely and all that. And then they'll find out that the handle is too blunt to peel and cut the potato. You know, so they'll try different things, hold it farther back, and then, you know, try to do, or hold it up and then poke it. They'll come up with all kinds of things. No, you're supposed to hold the handle. You don't need the chainmail glove. So that's the thing, is it just, it has a way of working it. So, yes, they're using Anuman, but the problem is they're using it wrong. They're not starting from Shabda. They're starting from Pratyaksha. How much can you see? We're limited in what we see, what we perceive. Because even though we'll say, or they'll say, that they're being objective, they only see what they value. Just like, let's say they're in a lab, and they're putting together something. Now, let's say they're working on a new chemical for some disease. Unless it's something general enough that they can make enough money off of it, they don't see it. In their work, they come up with things that will specifically get rid of a particular disease. But because that disease is so rare, you know, I mean, rare means, you know, maybe there's only 10,000 people who have it. They won't make the medicine because they won't make the profit. They'll only make the one that, you know, 500,000 or 1 million or 10 million people. So they don't see. So that's the whole point, is you only see what you can see. And so the scientist, he's saying he is objective. But if he's objective, then why can't he see the Supreme Consciousness? Why can't he see consciousness in the body? Because they demand it has to be by the senses. And then they'll speculate on things they absolutely can't see. It's totally against what they said. But because it started with their perception in Pratyaksha, it's okay. If you start with Shabda, someone else's, no. So totally biased. Totally biased. And whatever they see is through their senses. Their senses are imperfect. They may say, oh, I have a microscope. But you still, it has to go through your sense, your mind, your intelligence. It's limited. But because they think that they're unlimited, then, you know, that's the problem. They think they are God. That's why they can't see someone else's superior. Even if another scientist comes up with something good, they may not recognize it because they just know, no, I'm the most intelligent. They can't have come up with this. I've been working on this for 10 years. How did this new person in the field come up with this in 3 years? Not possible. So we're dealing with, you know, very subjective, very limited, based on the senses, speculation. And so what can you expect from it? You can say, oh, but we get phones. Okay, whoopee, you got a phone. Nice. You know? So, you know, the point is they can't see what's actually important. They don't know who they are. So that's why then here is that you see as the soul, they are a person. They are an individual. And from that individual form, that's where all this knowledge and consciousness is coming from. So consciousness, knowledge, and happiness is all coming from their form. It's non-different from them, but influenced by the Sandini potency, right, through Maya, then you get, they identify themselves, their existence, with something within the 14 worlds. Their knowledge is knowledge of the 14 worlds. Their happiness is coming from transformation of the 14 worlds. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? Prakashaha means that it is the giver of consciousness. This is the difference. This is the cause of its difference from the body. Yeah, because prakash means it spreads. That means you're giving. Yes. The light is giving. Yes. You know, here giving doesn't mean, you know, charity or something like that.
Yes.
It means the consciousness. It has consciousness and it gives that. The quality of pervasion, vyapti shila, is illustrated in verses like Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.19. Atma nityo vyayashuddha eka kshetragya ashrayaha avikriyas svadrig hetur vyapako sangyanavritaha. Atma is without destruction, without decay, pure. the one entity, the knower of the field, the shelter of all things, without change, self-illuminating, the cause, pervading his body, not influenced by matter and not covered. Okay? That's the nature of the soul. Then, within the nature of the soul, you're going to have nityabhadas and nityasiddhas. Means you have the nature, then those who use it right, those are the nityasiddhas. Those who don't, that's nityabhadas. The word vyapaka in this verse means that the Atma has a natural ability to enter into all beings. Into all beings, or all entities. All beings, entities. All entities, beings.
All entities, just primordial beings.
Or entities with maybe it's supposed to be beings. No? Okay. Jamaitri mentions that the jiva is not just knowledge. The reason was given, but another reason is that the jiva is chit anandatmaka. It is knowledge as the opposite of insentient, jara pratiyoga. And it is bliss and knowledge, chid anandatmaka, as the opposite of suffering, dukkha pratiyoga. Its nature of knowing is already illustrated. So that means they're eternal, then they're conscious, and then there is happiness. So the opposite, the suffering in the material world, the lack of knowledge, the lack of being aware.
Yes, yes.
That's the problems of this world.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Its nature of knowing was already illustrated. Jiva accomplishes its nature as bliss by being the shelter of unconditional prema. So when it comes to that platform, then it becomes the shelter of that prema for Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that takes shelter in their sarup. Mm-hmm. Right? So then it works very, very properly. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, we're being presented here with the personal aspect. Because even though, see, is that discussing these things, we tend to discuss these things, and they have that dry aspect because we see that from the ascending process.
Yes, yes.
So then we're going to see it as the Brahman, all pervading, the knowledge, the consciousness, the eternity, these aspects. You know, and maybe we can accommodate Paramatma aspect, controller, you know, like this, regulator, witness. But the point is no, they're persons. And so these three are there. Now, how they apply themselves, because they're conscious, they're independent. So they can decide whether they want to use that connected to the Lord or not. So if they use it connected to the Lord, then they become the shelter of unconditional prema. And if not, then they become, you know, they take shelter of the material energy. And identify with that, and then act accordingly. Right? And so, if you leave the Lord out of the equation, all you have is the jnana and the kriya. So all we have is gaining knowledge, skills, and applying that to get stuff. And so that means our happiness has to come from stuff, right? From things. Yes. Because we're only getting those two, we're unwilling to take it to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So we have to take it as to be just like you go into the kitchen, you make these wonderful arrangements, you cook this amazing stuff like that, and everyone sits around and looks at it, but no one eats it because they don't know about eating. You know, and they go, "Oh, well, that looks so good. Yeah, just check out the colors or the textures or this or that," but they never taste it. And then after looking a while, they sit it on the table and all that. And when it starts to look a little funny and all that, then, they throw it out or something. Or they put it out in the backyard and the cows eat it. And they wonder, why, what are that? Who eats this stuff? It's like, why would you? Whatever. But the point is that we only take it up to that point. But the thing is these things are only the medium for expression of love of Krishna. As we see in the drama, that you have the emotion that you want to express. So then there's going to be a certain facial feature, of the eyes and like that, and then of the gestures, and then of the stance, and then, you know, then of the, how you say, the makeup and the dress, and then of the staging, you know, I mean the arrangements on the stage. All that is simply, it's just expanding from that emotion. So in other words, there's prema, that the shelter of love for Krishna, and then there is the other aspect of the, the love for Krishna, and then the forms and all around that are simply to express that love for Krishna. It doesn't have any other purpose. That's all. But here we try to, on its own, get something out of it. You know, it's like probably gives the example. The hand tries to eat the rasgulla. You know, you could smoosh it around, you can roll it around, you can put it on a flat surface, and you can do all kinds of things with it. Throw it up and down, you know, like that. But the point is it will never give the result. It's an experience, yes. But the point is since it's not connected to Krishna, as a person, he is the Ananda Maya Purusha. He expands as all the other aspects of the Purushas. So yes, he is the earth, but the amount of energy in that has to be there to make the earth run is not very great. And so for us, who are spiritual entities, it's not going to matter much. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, you're interested in tasting things, you know. You could probably even say you're a little bit hungry. Now, if I give you a spoon, then on the spoon there's just a little bit, like a very tiny bit of some preparation. Will you be satisfied? No. But if I give that to a kid, you know, a little baby, oh, they can sit there and keep themselves busy for 5 minutes. Because for them, if there's a sensation on the tongue, that's all that matters. The eating process, you know, because you know, is not as, you know, unless they get real hungry, but they never get real hungry, right? You know, because someone's always taking care and feeding and that. So for them, it's just, anima is just the taste of it. You know what I'm saying? So, and you'll call them a child because of that. So in the same way as those from the transcendental platform call the persons here as children, because they don't know that they're supposed to take it all the way through to the Supreme Lord. They stop before that and think that's enough. You know? You know, you go into the kid goes into the living room and they play, not considering the house, you know, their mom and, you know, what it's used for and that, and they play however they like. So if things get disrupted or broken or all that, they're surprised. You know, it's just like people are shocked, you know. How is it that, you know, we've been polluting since the 1700s and all that, and why is it that suddenly we, you know, our weather is changing, you know? It's children. Children. It's so obvious. You know, every action has a reaction, and somehow whatever they do shouldn't have a reaction. Whatever anybody else does, of course, that's a reaction. You know, but for themselves, no. So it's childish. That's why you see in the Vedas and these sages, they deal with the common person, you know, they call them child. But they mean it in an affectionate way, just like with children. You're affectionate and try to take care, try to train them, try to, you know, help them and all that. But that's the whole point, is because they're not considering the eternal element. They're only considering the, you know, just dealing with the knowledge and skills and getting results from that. And that's like, that's just the environment you work in. You know, it'd be like, or, you know, taking the example back, well, like that. You make, you know, with your knowledge and your skill, then you set up and arrange a real nice kitchen, but you never cook in it. So would you say it's complete? No. Unless it can be applied, the knowledge can be applied, then only it's science. Does that make sense?
But now it seems that it is, in one sense, it is difficult to always to accept that Krishna is a person, that Jiva is a person.
Yes, yes.
Because it's like a new idea.
It's a new idea. I mean, it's not technically foreign because we see everybody's an individual. But when we get philosophical in the material world, we tend to go impersonal.
Yes.
Because it's so when we say, yeah, the spiritual world's the opposite of the spiritual is opposite of the material. Yes, it is opposite in that there it's eternal, there it's full of bliss, there the people have no problem. Not that there are no people. That's not a complete idea. Right? It's an incomplete understanding. Yes, it's different from here. It means there's no material qualities, there's only spiritual qualities. There's no material form, there's only spiritual form. So that's the... Yeah. Therefore it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the pleasure of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exist. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.54. Therefore, one can conclude that one's own soul is more dear than other souls. For the benefit of one's soul, one holds other entities, such as sons and objects, such as a house, as somewhat dear. Right? Because you consider yourself important, therefore anything connected with you, that's why it's important. That's why we're saying, Krishna Karinamrita. Krishna Bhajanamrita. Narhari Chakravarti?
Yes.
Yeah, then he explains that for the neophyte, the guru is important because they're connected to themselves.
Yes.
It's not that the guru is important on their own and then they are connected with that important person. No, because they're my guru, that's why they're important. Yes. He said that's why the neophytes have so much disagreement, because each one thinks my guru is better than your guru, because they're thinking I'm better than you.
Yes.
You know, so whatever you have, that's the best. You know, so that's the thing is that here. Pleasure of the self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities. So they're simply trying to please themselves. That's why Krishna's arranged this whole universe of living entities that have that aspect. They're trying to please themselves. What's connected to the field of their senses, you know, it means, in other words, they identify with the body through the senses, then you are aware of the world, right? The body's just there. It's only through the senses that you're aware of what's around you. So the field means the body. And so then what you perceive, then that's the extension of the body. And then what's in that what you perceive, that will be then the elements of that field. But the most important element within that is yourself. So when it says patra, the what is the paraphernalia, it has to include you. So that's the thing. In the modern time, place, circumstance, it doesn't include yourself. Oh, this is there, and so then what could I do? But who are you? You know, are you supposed to be involved in that? If you are, then you have to arrange to fill in the gaps. And if that's there, this could be done, but, you know, like this, but it's not for you, you're not supposed to do it. So it just comes down to their mind, not actually the qualification. It's just if I want to do it or not. Yes?
In this connection, I have heard, like, many devotees, after many years of practice, you know, sometimes they say this point that it's actually your own close family who care for you. Otherwise, it's like, no, then on an emotional note, they go little off on this point. It's because of the same weakness. And
it's just because they think themselves as the most important. They haven't included Krishna, because once you add in Krishna, and he becomes the most dear. In other words, we're going to be the most dear, and then Krishna is the more dear than that.
Yeah.
And so then, now you see all living entities connected to Krishna. Yes. So then you don't have a problem, because otherwise, like that, oh yes, if yourself as the living entity is important, then family is connected to that, therefore they're important, but another family's not. But if Krishna's what's dear, then everything's connected to Krishna, then therefore everything becomes dear. So it's the only way to work with. These others, you're always going to have the individual, then the family, then the community, then the nation,
yes.
You know, or their particular philosophical or political thought. some way of grouping. You have to categorize. And so according to that, then if it's connected with their own sense of categorization, then it has a value. And if it's not, then it's not important. And therefore, then, no matter what they say about, Prabhupada always says, United Nations, it'll never happen. They just, the United Nations, basically, they don't bother each other too much. Just there's a forum for discussion. But the point is every year there's another flag. So that's the difficulty, you said. There's no universal idea other than acknowledging God and all of us as his servants. That's the only universal principle. There isn't another one.
There's a question from Mataji. Is there any difference between Atma and Jiva?
No. Is there any difference between a car and an automobile? Yeah. No, it's just different. You're bringing out different things. Atma means you're bringing out the element of the consciousness and things like that. Jiva, you're bringing out that they're being alive, they do render service and things like that. And, it's just the derivative of the word, what you're bringing out. It's like you can say one thing, you can say so many things about it. It's just like you say, oh, this food looks so beautiful. But now, let's say we go down to the studio where they're shooting, pictures for a new cookbook. And there, it looks beautiful. But can you eat it? Not necessarily.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Because it's not actually what it looks like.
Yeah.
There's a whole science how to, like my daughter, she told me that when they make pictures of ice cream,
right,
actually it's mushed potatoes.
Really?
Oh yeah. Because you can't get that kind of shape. It's puree, puree?
Yeah. You can't get. Yeah, that's true. And it won't stay. Because then you want to put it, you want to decorate
as
you
it,
you want to
it,
do...
It
yeah.
Melts down.
Yeah, unless you do that all in a refrigerator
in
or something.
In Antarctica or something.
Yeah, yeah. Then you always have to... Lenses fog up and stuff. Or while you're shooting it, the polar bears come along and eat it.
Make sure you know the dessert or something.
So that's the whole point is that you say it's beautiful because it looks, it smells, like that, the environment that it's in, the situation that you're in, the company that you're in, all that is what makes it, Does that make sense? It's otherwise, let's say some, what are those guys called? Those northern marauders come in, right? And they come in and capture everybody and tie them up and all that, and then sit them over in the corner like that, and everyone's there and threatening them and all that. And during all this, then somebody brings in a very nice preparation, like that, like a chocolate croissant or something like that, right? And says, so is this beautiful or not? It's kind of like, well, what does that got to do with what's going on now? So. It's not going to. It's the whole thing is there. So that it all goes back to and then to the relationship to the individual. It's then back to Krishna. So when it's taken that way, then everything else has meaning. But otherwise, if it doesn't, then that's why in the cookbooks it's total illusion. Then it looks so, and that's why when you cook, it'll never look like what they. Yeah, I always wondered why. I was thinking it was always for just the lighting or something like that. Well, you see some, I don't know about now, but if you go back a little time, the Indian cookbooks, they would actually cook the food and take a picture of the food, and it would never look as good as these, Western cookbooks. That could be why, because it's actual food.
Vishakha Mataji, she shared her experience with Jamuna with that book that took all the awards and everything.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
So she is the professional
photographer. Right.
And Jamuna is the best
cook. Yeah.
So she actually invited Vishakha, who wasn't a good cook. And she said, okay, now according to my recipe, if you're able to cook what I described there, that means that works. And then she took the picture. So that book, it has, you know, it is what it is.
So it's actual pictures that Vishaka that he cooked.
No. She took the pictures, but then she also experienced it firsthand, that all Jimuna's recipes worked. And whatever didn't work with her, Jimuna adjusted.
Okay.
She was like a regular cook, not a professional cook.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why that book is so good. Because it actually, if you follow it, it works.
It works, okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Everything else, you're not sure.
No, that's true. Wow. Okay, so in other words, this looking at it from the personal, so we were saying before, for the acharyas, they see different. So if you're seeing like this, then you're always establishing about the personal aspect. So all these other things come up because they're looking from the other way. It's not a matter of, oh, they're so intelligent, they're so logical, they remember so many things. It's no, they're looking at it wrong. And point, they still may be very intelligent and very logical, but they're starting backwards. So of course it's going to be weird. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, if you play English, you play it backwards, it'll sound, in America they'll joke it sounds like Russian, but I'm wondering if you play Russian backwards, if it sounds like English.
No.
No? What? Have you ever heard Russian backwards?
We weren't playing like when we were kids.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we played like that.
Yeah. What did it sound like?
Well, we didn't know any other language, so
oh, I see.
We can't compare, but definitely the backwards English doesn't sound
like Russian. That. Okay. No. So basically they're just saying it doesn't sound like English, so it must be Russian.
Yeah. Because English is quite, it's quite rough. Russian, it's a soft language. It has a lot of soft letters, which English
doesn't have.
Just doesn't have. So
it more sounds probably like German.
Yeah.
It is a form of German.
Yeah, German or Dutch, you know, that side.
Yeah, all that. All the up north, they're all the same kind of same.
Because they say that in Russian there are so many French words that assimilated into Russian.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We had experience with somebody who speaks French. They were talking.
Oh.
Yeah, and they said, oh, did you say that? I said, yes. Oh. And it meant the same.
Same, okay.
But there are quite a few, not like one, two.
Wow. I think it's also who's talking it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, I remember I was sitting somewhere, I can't remember, getting ready to get on a plane. It was one of those, it was, you know, the small prop planes. You're out on the tarmac and you go up the little steps and, you know, one of those things. And while they were waiting there, I remember there were some people speaking in German, but it was so pleasant. You know, they were very refined and all that. It was very pleasant. So I think you'd have that in every language, is that you can have those who would speak Russian to be very refined, and then those who would speak that would be a wee bit more rough. You know, so you probably get that in all languages.
Yeah.
Or you get the effect of, what is it, there was a saying, where you get a reversal. Someone was saying that rugby is a game for ruffians played by gentlemen. and football, or, you know, soccer, is a game for gentlemen played by ruffians. So you might have those aspects also, you know. Okay. Udriti. Okay. Well, we already did that. Yes, so other entities such as suns and objects such as house or whatever is somewhat dear because they are connected to you. That's why they're dear. So therefore, when we connect ourselves to Krishna, then everything else being connected to Krishna, then everything, then it takes on its proper, right? Sukadeva spoke thus, Riti, having concluded the Adhikarana describing the jiva's qualities of self-revealing and consciousness-giving, next the jiva's nature as an individual knower, possessor of an individual identity is substantiated. Right, because that's been touched on before, that there has to be some individuality, but now you specifically talk on that. Mm-hmm. Adhikarana 4. Jivas have an individual identity, Anuchedas 29-32, Adhikarna Kashika. In this Adhikarna, Srila Jiva Goswami discusses on the Jiva's characteristics of being a possessor of a separate individual identity. According to Padma Purana and the sage Jamitri, each Jiva possesses an individual identity which is separate from other Jivas. In the conditioned state, the Jiva identifies himself with the Prakriti and thinks that he is a doer of material actions. But in his pure state, the Jiva identifies himself as a servant of the Supreme Lord and renders service to him. Thus, in either liberated or conditioned state, the Jiva always possesses a unique and individual identity through which he identifies himself as a performer of specific actions, right? So on the material platform, it's connected with the body that you're in, that you're conscious of, and those things connected with that body, and that way then you are the an individual that performs action. But if you identify yourself as servant of Krishna, then you'll identify yourself in that particular relationship with Krishna, and then the activities that performed are being performed by that individual, but to please Krishna. So, oh, somebody thought it was kookaburras, but we're not in Australia. So then, yes. So like Mother Jashoda does specific actions because of her relationship with Krishna. And in the material world, we do specific actions because of our relation with the body, our identification with the body. Right? So, yeah. Having elucidated, right, see, before it was more of a general concept of just the jiva as a tattva. But here now we're bringing out the individuality means the personal aspect of it. Right? Having elucidated that each jiva possesses a separate individual identity, next, the author deals with the contrary statements of the scriptures that state the jivas as one single entity, right? Because they talk a lot about them being, and all the living entities, then they maintain the world and things like that, like in Gita, Krishna says. The Mayavadis propose there is only one jiva, and due to illusion caused by avidya, he is seen as many individuals. Also, the logicians and Vaisheshikas claim that the jiva is unlimited in size because if the jiva is small in size, it can't pervade the whole body, right? They don't understand the jiva has shaktis that it does. They take it that, no, if he's in this body, then he takes on the full size of the body, right? You know, so then the question would be, if he takes on the full size, is it a comfortable fit, or they're kind of like squished in there and all that, or there's a little bit left and they can't always, that's why sometimes you get, you know, how you say, you know, the pins and needles in your leg, because you don't quite reach all the way to the bottom, and then you have to, then you can, yeah.
It is why people become fat.
Sorry?
People become fat because we need more space.
More space, yes. It's just natural that they can. You know, so this thing of saying people shouldn't get fat, see, then is against the position of the jiva's unlimited. So. And if he is medium sized, then he is subject to division. Right? Because they're saying then you have to... The author refutes all such arguments systematically by first reasoning that the jivas are sometimes addressed in the scriptures as a single entity to point out Brahman, like showing Arundhati's star in the sky. Right? You show one, and like that, that... And thus, these statements do not refute the jiva's nature as an individual entity. When he presents the fallacies in the statements of the opponents, he presents the fallacies in the statements of the opponents by stating that if the jiva were unlimited in size and single, all-pervading entity, then it would not be controlled by anyone. You know, so then who is controlled? So then how is it you're doing? Unless this entity is conscious of all beings and is pervading everywhere, and then you know, what is that being? You know? Then the scriptural statements that the jivas are controlled by the Lord would be meaningless. Thus, the jiva is not a single, unlimited, and all-pervading entity as claimed by the Mayavadis and other atheistic schools of thought. Rather, there are unlimited jivas, each possessing his own separate individual identity. Anucheta 29. The jiva's knowledge composed of bliss is not experienced second-hand, quote-unquote, for you, as in the case of a reflection. but rather is experienced for the self. Aham artha, since the jiva is atma, or the self, footnote 4. This is explained by Ramanujacharya in a Srivasu commentary as follows. Asmat artha means awareness of the self. Yusmat artha means your awareness of things. I know shows the existence of the knower. It cannot be described as your awareness. That would be as meaningless as saying, my mother is barren. Sribhasya 111, 65. Right, because otherwise then we say that I know, you know, and that and therefore because I know you know, it doesn't make any sense. No, I know and you know what you know. So you have to see is that it's individual. If it was all one consciousness, then I would know what you know what I know, but it's not like that. You know, otherwise, if that was the position, then the whole, what do you call it? You know, media empire wouldn't exist, because everybody would know everything. So, you know, what's the document? What's the write down? What's the gossip? Yes?
In the beginning of the Gita, that argument is put down, saying that the whole Gita would be meaningless if Krishna and Arjuna are one.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one knower,
mm-hmm.
then what would be the meaning of Krishna telling Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
You know, that he already knows it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
It seems that this... that the Mayavadi philosophy is very, very prominent, you can say like that, in the material world.
There's Vaishnavas and then there's Mayavadis.
Only two.
No? Yeah, there's personal and impersonal.
So if a person is not a pure devotee of Krishna, means there is some influence of the Mayavadi philosophy.
That's there just because we've been doing it for so long.
Yes.
So it's natural it's going to be there. But the point is that if we're fixed and we're convinced, then it will go away with time. So as soon as we talk in a certain way, and then when we find out that, oh, that's not actually, you know, but because we're looking at it, no, it's logical. But it may be logical, but you're applying the logic wrong to the wrong thing or in the wrong way. And like you said, if I'm using the tool backwards,
yes.
You know, it's just like if I take the, you know, how you say, let us say, I use something in a opposite of what it should be used. Now you can say technically it's correct. Because all the steps are there, but, you know, in the wrong way. But the point is you're not understanding what it's for, what it's to do, and everything like that. So logic, someone may be very smart and so then they think that they're being intelligent, but they're not necessarily. You know, it's just like the standard thing. You're making a statement and you say that this is the way it is. Immediately, so whoever is clever is going to take it and try to, the immediate thing, they don't try to apply it. They look for an exception. And as soon as they find an exception, no, but there's this. And they think, see, I've defeated everything. I'm the smartest guy here. But what have they proven? What have they established? How have they solved any problem? Nothing. But you'll see it every time, anywhere you go. It's always exactly the same. Because they're using their intelligence, but in the wrong way. Instead of, how do I apply this in my life? How do I find fault in it? So they use that same logic on how would I apply it in my life. Then they get so much benefit. You'd have such a better conversation, like you see Arjuna and Krishna. He tries to see how to apply that. Krishna says, you know, this yoga system, it says, I'm not tying myself up in a pretzel, that's stupid. He's going, no, but you can't control the mind. It's more difficult than the wind, so I wouldn't be able to do this. He's already tried to see, okay, I'll do that, but then his question. You know? If you see something's a contradiction, but you said this and now you've said that, how does that work? But it's not trying to find a fault. It's fine. I can't apply it because all I see is the contradiction. I don't see the common theme between the two, so I don't know how to apply it for different situations. So the fault finding is using intelligence, being clever, but unfortunately it's being used for the wrong purpose. Because if you're right because everybody else is wrong, then you're not really very right. There's nothing positive about it. Oh, we've done this and it didn't work, so therefore this is better. No, it's that Krishna consciousness stands on its own. That this is the nature of the jiva, this is how it should be applied. Any other way of applying will not give a satisfactory result. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich or this or that or anything. Yes?
Like, even the materialists, it said that we squeeze them hard in their neck, they are all mayavadis.
Yes.
Because as soon as we point out, okay, you are enjoying, and then because everybody else is there, and as a duty you have to serve, and then you take it more than what they can handle, then immediately they come with this all mayavadi concept. Ultimately,
there is yes. Yeah, always trying to find a fault, always like that. Because the mayavadi, the advantage of mayavadi means then it's up to you. You're God. You make the standards. You do whatever you want. So any crazy thing you come up with, it's all illusion anyway, so what does it matter how crazy it is? Well, Vaishnavas, no, it's Krishna's laws, so it has to be within the laws. It's very accommodating, but it still has to match within the laws. So basically what you come down to, those who agree to follow God's laws and those who don't. You know? And then the Vaishnavas, it's not just agree to follow the laws, but the purpose of the laws. There's a purpose to the law. While see, Smartas, it's just the law. Because their purpose is not God's purpose, the purpose is their own benefit. Yes?
Another point Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur he makes is that dealing with logic, it's cause and effect. But then Krishna is without cause. So by logic, you'll never come to that conclusion. You'll never find Krishna.
That's interesting, yeah.
And the point we're dealing is jiva is without material cause. So in the same way, by material logic, consciousness is there as an effect. But to come to the conclusion that there is a jiva who is the cause, never come.
Yes. That makes sense? Yeah. That's interesting. And then the fun part is that the impersonalists don't accept cause and effect.
Really?
Yeah.
Satkaryavad, I saw they deal with it a lot.
They deal with it, but only within this side. They won't take it all the way back. Oh. Because all the way back means if there's effect, there must be an original cause.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that. So they can't take it back because the Brahman is the cause of everything here. That means Brahman has to have qualities. It has to have variety. It has to have all that. And they're not willing to accept that. So only use it as a tool, but once they get up to that higher level, then they won't use it. Yes?
It's like Satkaryavad has Parinamavad inbuilt in it. In order to understand Satkaryavad properly, then the Parinamavad has to be accepted. So they accept Satkaryavad without the Parinamavad, means without the Shakti Parinam. Then otherwise, then how the cause is causing an effect? Then you have to go into the regression that cause is an effect of some other cause, and that cause is an effect of some other cause.
Yeah, and that's what Prabhu's saying, is that the logic can only see that.
And then they always end up in regression.
Yeah, and then you have an infinite regression, right? Yeah.
So you just infinite regression.
Yeah, it just keeps going like that. You know, or circular means it comes around. You know, it doesn't go back to a point where it stops. So that's the thing. Is that's very good. With material logic, can't understand the soul and the Lord because they're spiritual. They're no cause, and so they can only see that cause and effect. Yeah, without the transformation of the Lord, you know, his energies. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. This knowledge, quote unquote, for the self is the sense of quote unquote I. The word quote unquote I indicates knowledge. The pure Atma, though covered by Prakriti, never becomes something else, since by the covering he merely identifies that self with the body. So the jiva still remains the jiva. It's not being covered that they change, that they're a different substance. It's just that they identify with the body instead of identifying as the soul, identifying as servant of the Lord. Right? So material is going to be, I am this body. Spiritual is going to be, I'm the soul. Transcendental is going to be, I'm servant of Krishna. But at least I'm the soul, there's proper knowledge there, but it's not complete. Right? Because otherwise, that gives an identity, but then how do you apply that identity? You see, is that they have nothing to do, no goal to attain, once they're on that transcendental platform. So it's not complete, because then they're not addressing their own need. Because eternity is not the only need. Otherwise, why do they talk about Brahmananda? So we see it's just ignorance, because they want to sleep. They want to get rid of their existence, so they just want to sleep. Right? Because when you're asleep, then it's good. You know, there's no problems in this deep sleep. Dreaming, then, you know, a little problem, but deep sleep, no. So they just want to come to that stage. You know, especially the Buddhists, that's their whole thing. You know, they're so materialistic that the reverse, they just want to get rid of their existence. So, but the jiva, being who he is, he can only be in these three states. You can't be in another state. Right? Srila Prabhupada is talking about this. So therefore, they just go into a state of deep sleep. Then they consider that perfect. But at some point, they will have to come back awake, because that's their nature. So do they come back awake in the material platform? Or they come awake on the spiritual? So if you switch your awakeness from here to there, then what's the problem? The problem is they don't know how to do that. And because of that, then they suffer. So then they're always looking for some alternative. Interesting, no?
When I was a child, then there was one group came like for meditation. And then the whole description, in summary, was that their guru, for the sake of benefit of the whole world, he has nullified all his desires. And even as a child, it didn't make sense to me.
For the sake of the whole world. Why not for the sake of himself? So what did he do for himself? Oh, nothing. He's selfless.
It should be a value on children, because they always make noise, but even as a child, it didn't make sense.
Well, I mean, you have a more direct one in the West. Children should be seen and not heard. At least that's the European standard.
Used to be.
Nowadays, they're only heard. And, you know. Yeah. The jiva thinks himself the doer of activity. Yeah, no, that's it. The children nowadays, the children are only heard, and the parents are not seen. Kids running around on their own, you don't know where the parents are. The jiva thinks himself the doer of activities, which are done by the gunas, by false identification with Prakriti. Srimad Bhagavatam 326.6, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. They forget. Can we get a dot under the R? In Udriti?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a dot.
The forgetful living entity may be compared to a man who is under the influence of disease and has become mad, or to a man haunted by ghosts who acts without control and yet thinks himself to be in control. Under the influence of material nature, the conditioned soul becomes absorbed in material consciousness. In this consciousness, whatever is done under the influence of the material energy is accepted by the conditioned soul as self-actuated. Actually, the soul in his pure state of existence should be in Krishna consciousness. When a person is not acting in Krishna consciousness, he is understood to be acting in material consciousness. Mm-hmm. Consciousness cannot be killed, for the symptom of the living entity is consciousness. The material consciousness simply has to be purified. One becomes liberated by accepting Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, as master, and by changing the mode of consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam 326.6, purport. So the material nature is doing the activities. You want to experience a certain thing. It's just like this. You can say, no, but where's our free will? Let us say you go to, you know, a theme park and get on one of the rides. Right? Are you in control? No, it just goes through. But you think, I went through, I enjoyed, we went up, we went down, all this kind of thing like that. And so that's what you're doing. You want to do a certain thing, and then the material nature takes you through that ride. And then we identify with it. I did this, I did that, so many things. But at the same time, is where did it come from? You're sitting there, you can't do anything, you can't interact. And then, you know, one time at one gathering, then you start doing something and everybody, you know, is suddenly, you know, impressed. And then you'll say, yeah, wasn't I great? But where did that come from? You didn't have it before. You know, kids are sitting around, you know, talking all kinds of stupid stuff, you know, like this. Why is it this time they sit down and talk of stupid stuff, they ended up as billionaires? You know, where's this come from? But they'll identify with it because they identify with the body and say, I've done this. So it's the modes of nature. So that's the difference, is if they're Krishna conscious, then they work under yoga maya. So the same feeling of freedom that's here will be there. But there, then, because it's the natural position, the satisfaction from it is unlimitedly greater. Because you're working with the unlimited, why wouldn't it be unlimited? But that's the thing, it's unlimited, and you're a person. Krishna's unlimited, he's a person. That's where logic doesn't work.
So Maharaj, in one sense, we have just a choice to associate with Krishna or to associate with the energy of Krishna, material energy of Krishna.
Yes.
It means, and when we associate with the energy, material energy of Krishna, it means we develop relationship, attachment.
Yes. But we're attached because Krishna is the one that holds together. Anything that you have, it's yes. Only there. I mean, it's like, you know, we have this table. Then we're attached to the table only because Krishna is holding it together. So we're attracted by Krishna's attachment and in this variety, in this form. You know, so according to our nature, we're going to like. You know, it's just like this, okay? The wood's just natural and painted. I mean varnished, right? So some will like that. Some will like that as long as these two are the same color.
Yes.
Some people, they like, you know, it's all variety of whatever it is. You make something out of two, three pieces, kinds of wood, and it has a different take like that. That's fine. Others know it has to be the same wood, or you have to stain this light wood to look like the dark wood.
Yes.
Someone else won't like this. They'd rather have it painted, or pickled, or painted, or something else. You know what I'm saying? So everyone's going to... But all of those things that you do have... Paint, how is it held together? It's still Krishna. So we're attracted by Krishna that's in everything. But because we're identifying with the body as ourselves, then we identify what we're perceiving with the body as connected with the body, not with Krishna.
Yes.
And when you identify ourselves as servant of Krishna, then we see everything connected to Krishna. And so then how to use that in Krishna's service. But otherwise, I identify with the body, how to use that in my service. Or what's connected with me. Okay, that'll be good for the house.
Yes.
You know, you're walking down the beach, see something on the beach. Oh, that'll look nice in the house. You know, some, you know, like that.
Yes.
So, yeah. By thinking himself to be Prakriti, by absorption in Prakriti, para-vidyanena, he thinks himself to be the doer of activities done by the gunas of Prakriti. So he absorbs in Prakriti, he thinks himself Prakriti, he absorbs in Prakriti, so what Prakriti does, he says, that's me.
Yes.
Right? So when we say he's absorbed, because we might say it's okay, but yeah, that's the body, then there's the modes of nature. But he thinks, I am the body, which is Prakriti. So therefore, whatever Prakriti or the body does, he says, that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Even though it's controlled by Prakriti is controlled by Prakriti.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, therefore, but we identify with
yes.
it.
Yes.
Therefore, then.
This is the problem.
Yes, this is the problem. Since it is impossible to think oneself to be something else without first having an identity of I. Right? So you have to have an identity. So even the Maya bodies, there's an identity. I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. Just say Brahmasmi. Brahmasmi. You know? You have a drink, Brahmasmi. You know, you want something to eat, Brahmasmi. You know, it's like that. You know, just leave out the aham. You know, so it's all for everything. So I'll just take the food and put it outside. You know, and then you go, you know, Brahmasmi. Yes, exactly. Yes, I'm putting it out. Yes. This is another type of sensing I for the jiva. Right? So it's just, I'm the jiva or I'm the body. Or I'm servant of Krishna, yeah. You have to have an identity. That's why when somebody thinks, yeah, I'm good at this, and then he goes and does it, and he's not good at it, he has no identity. So now he can't function. So he's sitting there. He's depressed.
Yes.
Why? Because he lost his identity.
Yes.
You know, and with that, the benefits he get from that identity. Yes. You know, and it's like you sit at home, and you think you're really great. You know, you sing, and everyone says you're fabulous. And then you go out to a competition, and you find out you're terrible.
Yes.
You know, that would be, oh, my God. So they lose their identity. So that's the problem, because I'm the doer. But here now how do they function? So you have to get a new identity. That's why you see is that all these kind of self-help things, you know, and psychologists and that, they're trying to create an identity for you. You know, you're the, you know, yeah, you can do it, you can do that, you can be out there, you can be happy, you can... But they only know how to create a mundane identity. So that's going to be the weakness. You know, the mechanics of psychology is not a problem, but psychologists use it to establish a material identity. You know, and so that's the problem. So unless you understand actually the mechanics of it, because most people just know the tricks of it. If you know the mechanics of it, you use that to establish an identity as servant of Krishna. You're suffering here because you're not identifying as a servant of Krishna. So as long as they think that, you know, no, it's because, you know, I don't feel inspired. But why not? Because you're trying to identify with material energy. When you identify with servant of Krishna, then there's unlimited things you can do. Like that. But as long as you think I'm the doer, you're going to have problems. As long as your identity runs, but you see one day it doesn't run. It doesn't work anymore. You know?
Yes. If we are fully conscious of being an eternal servant of Krishna, then there is no up and down.
Yeah, there's no, one's stable. Mm-hmm. One's stable. So that's why one's dhira. Because
yes.
Then one always sees that it doesn't matter what comes along, you're fine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because if it means the point is, as servant of Krishna, and myself and my position, then whatever I would be doing for Krishna, when those opportunities are there, I do. When I don't, I can just chant.
Yes, yes.
So it doesn't matter what situation comes up. It's about how it's connected to you and your service to Krishna. And therefore they're dhira, they're stable. But otherwise, then Maya, through the modes of nature, then she brings up so many things. You know, connected with the senses, and then we think, oh, I could enjoy this, I could enjoy that, I could this and that. But, you know, we're not these senses. And so even we engage them, we won't be satisfied, because the senses, when they're touching the sense object, there's a taste. It's, you know, you're chewing on something, you get the taste. As soon as you swallow, the taste is gone. You know? So it's like, it's that much. You touch something, oh, this is, you know, it's kind of smooth and it's a little bit cool from the air. But as soon as I let that, then no more of the smooth and no more of the cool. It's just the way it is. No? Yeah. So that's the thing. It's not there anymore. So it's that temporary. So that can't please us. But now if we're dealing with Krishna, and Krishna's all these elements, and he's rasa, so through the external form, you're able to taste Krishna's rasa. Mm-hmm. Then the point is it's always going to be the same.
Yes.
That's why in Sambhog and Vipralamba, it's the experience is the same.
Yes.
The ecstasy is the same, but the flavor is different. One is you're with Krishna, one's you're not. Even though in both, you're with Krishna. But one, you're not with his sarup. That's why it's there. The other one, you're with this, with him in you know, his remembrance, his energy, like this. You know? It means you're remembering the Sarup, but through the medium of the mind. But he's non-different from that. That's also the deity. But then the deity in the mind will give one flavor. The deity, you know, in form will give another. But it's all Krishna. That's why you do Archa worship. You get the benefit. But we see is that Brahman. What was it in Avantipur? Then. Or Ujjain or someplace, then, or they're the same place, right? Avantipur and Ujjain are the same. You know, it's like saying, Calcutta or, you know, the world's, you know, largest, garbage can. You know, it's the same thing. Right? You know,
no, we can put the City of Joy. Right?
Oh, City of Joy, yes. Yes, okay, very nice. Thank you. Yeah. I just brought that because when I was in Calcutta and, you know, walking in the streets, some gentleman was somehow there, maybe waiting at the light, and he says, oh, so, you know, you're here, how long are you? Oh, what do you think of Calcutta? Oh, yeah, nice, you know, the people are personal and interactive and all that. And says, oh, why, what's your experience? He says, it's a large dustbin. It's just, everywhere's just, you know, everywhere people throw refuse, you know. You know, because he was a little bit older, so he saw Calcutta before the communists took over.
When was that?
That would have been, when was it, Bangladesh?
71.
So before 71, Calcutta was considered the second best city in the British Empire. Only because London has to be the best. You know. Even if it was better, it would be number two.
So it was clean?
It was super clean. They washed, you know, you've seen those things on the side of the road, there's kind of a hole and water's just gushing up. That was for fire hydrants. And twice a day, they go down, connect up the hoses, wash the streets, move down to the next one, wash, get to the other, and then another crew would come through later. So twice a day. It was spotless.
That's a pity we didn't see.
Yeah, no, I didn't see. Yeah, I came 3 years too late.
Right? So it was already...
Yeah,
to trash place, it doesn't take much.
No. It's just like, what is it? You know, wasn't it in Paris? It's such a nice place, and then they were striking and the garbage workers. Wasn't that Paris?
Yes.
And garbage is everywhere. I think it only took a week or 10 days, and like, and it's just like turned into hell.
Yes.
You know? Let alone, because you had all those millions of people come over from Bangladesh, and the central government was going to give them land and everything in the Andamans. The communists thought, you know, they couldn't get into power, so they thought, hey, here's a voting base. So we'll just say, no, you stay with us. We'll get you. They're trained to trick you, get rid of you. No, we'll take care of you. You know, and they're still living in the streets there. So like that, then it just fell apart. You know, so between too many people and the government, how they ran it, and then...
Also, most important, they got rid of all the businessmen.
Ah, he's keeping the place organized.
The businessmen are there. Their area at least would be like
be
classic.
Clean, yeah. Yeah, so
killed
like that.
Everyone. If they're not going to Mumbai, they killed everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Naxals. Oh, yeah. That's right. There was a time there that they would shoot all the big businessmen.
What?
Because I mean, in Russia they didn't get rid of any states. Come,
they have money.
Mid-70s.
Why would they have money?
No, it was going on. Naxals. I mean, it's only recently that last 10-15 years they've gotten rid of them. But otherwise, before it was very regular. They'd show up and shoot somebody.
Interesting. The principle.
Because they all used to live in that North Calcutta.
The businessmen.
Yeah, that was the place from. You know, from Mahatma Gandhi Road up to north, up to how far?
Up to Alipur, we can say.
No, that's the other way.
Oh.
Mahatma Gandhi Road the other way. Yeah, all the way up. Yeah, it was just all, you know, up to, you know, like Shambazar and that. It was all, that was the Marwari area. But then when all this started, they all moved out of there and went south. So now they're in Alipur and all those places. But before they all lived north, because they all had old big places and all everything there, but they didn't use it. Yeah, it was a big thing. They would shoot everybody. You know. Why they think that's going to improve society? Yes, yeah, so then, and they moved out. So then all, because you used to have so much business in Calcutta, so much money. And then they all moved to Bombay or someplace else. And then,
because most of the big businessmen's ancestral home is in Calcutta.
Yeah.
Though they live in Bombay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Birlers of Calcutta, they're all of Calcutta. Because they first moved out hundreds of years ago from Rajasthan, because of the desert. They moved over here because it was the biggest city. So Marwaris are going to go to the biggest city. it was the capital. It was, what to do. How do we get onto that? I don't even remember. That's the thing. The jiva, he comes in, but you don't even remember how you got there, right?
It's like, a question of identity.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, whatever. Huh? Time's over.
Yeah.
We had that whole conversation. It was time up. We could have avoided that whole conversation. We don't even remember what it was for. There was a point to be made. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And I think there's still, I don't know if it's still there, but there was also the Naxals were, I think, in Andhra.
Actually, that's what I was about to say. The Andhra Naxals established the principles. They are working on the principles. And then here they just fight and all.
Okay.
So what happened during the previous government, the Congress government, the leader, he is the biggest factionist. So he called all the Naxals for a meeting and shoot them all.
Huh. Who is that? Oh, the government guy.
The government guy. He was a chief minister. It's called Christian guy.
Okay.
Shoot them all. And then he touched, after that, then he thought he was too big, then he touched Lord Venkateshwara's property. And he got killed in a plane crash on the Venkateshwara hills.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, well, at least we got rid of the Naxal problem.
Yeah, he did that. Just so. After that, then they don't have any power anymore.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And because there the leaders got off, now we don't hear. But Chhattisgarh, Orissa, Chhattisgarh, Bengal, and Andhra, these are the most natural places.
Yeah, but how is it ever approved?
Anything like just going and shooting.
It's about they don't want to feel bad about themselves. They don't have money.
Okay. But it's not like the money, there's money there in the beginning.
They don't get it. They shoot him, then nobody has money. It's like, oh.
It's like merchant property.